I want you to pray in the spirit. Kalaba shandele berosa. If you can't pray in the spirit, kalibada bada baha. Reporta lemenosha. Rekete kete kete kete. Mando zo bregadista. Reporta lemenosa. Rabo shande bradada. Regadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadadad gada 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 rekete kete kete. We thank you for your word, kaliba shandi mano sana mandi. It's another time to feed on this word, matosa. We thank you, Father, manako zalaba, for another edition, for another edition of At His Feet, kaliba dosa reketo sana mandi oraba shata labara barabaha. Thank you, Father, menenenenenoshalama. At your word, at your word, we are transformed. At your word, we are transformed. It's you, it's you, it's you, it's you that brings about the transformation. Manegero salabahaya. Hallelujah. Ayarabayarabayarabaha. Oh, rabarabarabayarabahasha. Father, thank you for your word. Mando sota ekotiada ilianda bahate limundo zatili arabaha. Hallelujah to God. Amen to Jesus. Glory to God. Hey, are you excited? I am excited. Woo! I'm excited at God's word coming to us tonight. Hallelujah to God. Amen to Jesus. I want you to say, I will be blessed by this teaching. Amen. I will be blessed by this teaching. Amen. Indeed, you'll be blessed by this teaching. I want you to say, God will speak to me today. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Just follow me closely. Tonight we'll be looking at the posture of receiving God's word. There is a posture, you know, of receiving the word of God. There is a posture receiving God's word. The scripture that we started, you know, reading last week from Luke 10 verse 38, amen. All right, we saw that how that Martha was worried that Mary was not serving with her, and Martha told Mary to come. Martha told Jesus to rebuke, is he not worried that, you know, Mary is not serving with her alone, that, you know, should tell Mary to come and serve with her. We know the story. We know everything Jesus said there. If you have not listened to last week's message, please, I implore you to do so. Hallelujah. Okay. So, verse 39, which is basically our focus, you know, for At His Feet. You know, God said to do an introduction, you know, and then we're looking at this encounter. All right. So, verse 39, he said, and she sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Amen. We saw how that us sitting at Jesus' feet to hear his word was her being deliberate, you know, and Jesus confirmed it. Jesus said Mary has chosen the good part. All right, he said Mary, that's some Luke 10 verse 38 to 42. Says that, you know, Mary has chosen the good part. So Jesus knew that what Mary did was intentional. And last week we talked about how that you have to be intentional about growing up spiritually, about feeding on the word of God. Amen. You have to be intentional. I know something is just going to drop upon you. You have to be intentional. You have to have a schedule for it. You know, we saw how that as sitting at Jesus' feet was an intentional, deliberate act. And remember, this is a year of intentional living. How that Jotham, the Bible tells us in Second Chronicles 27 verse 6, that Jotham became mighty because he prepared his way before the Lord his God. That's the word that God gave us for 2020.
as the family and the community when ladies gather. You know, this year it's a year of intentional living. You know, Jotham became mighty because he prepared his way before the Lord. He was deliberate about it. He was intentional about, you know, preparing his way before the Lord, and God made him mighty. Amen. So last week while I was just rounding up, the Lord said to, you know, teach on the posture of receiving the word of God. All right, and we're gonna be reading Luke 10:39. It said, and she sat at Jesus' feet and she heard his word. She sat at Jesus' feet and she heard his word. The posture that Mary took, you know, in listening to God's word, to Jesus, to hearing Jesus' word, is one that, you know, we need to look at. This woman actually sat down. This lady sat down. Now, that posture of sitting down, you know, it's a humble posture, you know, of listening to someone speak to you. Amen. When you sit down to listen to somebody, it means that you really want to hear what this person has to say. Am I right? You really want to hear what this person has to say. You know, you want to just calm down and just listen. What is personal? That's why when I went to university or university, you don't go to lecture halls and then everybody is standing. Do you get? We are all seated, okay, but especially 100 level was all rousy. Do you get? And it was rowdy rather. But in a cool lecture setting, you are all seated. And if anybody's even standing, doing anything at the back or just standing, you know, making noise and all that, the lecturer, you know, rebukes that person. When you're seated, it's a humble position. You know, Mary put herself in a posture where she could listen to the word of God. I want us to turn our Bibles to James chapter 1 verse 21. It says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Now you can see that in this scripture, it says, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. Now, for you to be able to receive God's word, there is a posture that you have to take in order to receive God's word, for you to be able to see results, for you to be able to be transformed. And that posture is meekness. Amen. What does it mean to be meek? What does the word meekness mean? You know, the word meekness, it means to be humble. It means to be teachable. Yeah, it means to be submissive. Amen. So it means, in this context now, it says receive with meekness the engrafted word of God. It means to submit to the word of God. It means to allow the word of God to teach you. It means to be humble before the word of God. Now, there are a lot of people right now that, if you look at their lives, they know a lot about the word of God. Some people know God's word a lot, but they are not humble before the word. They are not submitted to the word of God. And they are not allowing God's word to teach them, but they have an idea of the word. They know the word. Some have an idea, some know the word, but they are not submitted to God's word. So God's word does not, you know, in their lives, they've not allowed God's word to have, you know, to reign and, you know, dominate over their lives, over their bodies. Amen. You see, some people, they know all the scriptures on sexual purity, for instance, but they are the ones that are sleeping around. Some of you, even hearing me, that you even, you know, mess with fornication, you know scriptures like flee fornication, right? You know the scripture, you know where it is in the Bible, but you still go to the guy's house and allow the guy to sleep with you. You know that scripture. But the truth is this: you are not receiving with meekness that word. You've not received it yet with meekness. You heard it, you know, you may have been taught it, you may have even crammed the scripture, but receiving God's word, for it to be able to transform your life, says for it to save your soul, it has to be with meekness. You have to submit to the word of God. You have to allow God's word, you know, renew your mind. You have to allow God's word, more like, you have to allow God's word crush you. Do you understand? You have to allow God's word crush your thinking. You have to allow God's word renew your mind. Hallelujah. There is a posture receiving God's word. You have to allow God's word to teach you. You have to receive it with a teachable heart, with a submissive heart, with a heart that is ready to receive God's word. For sincerely, you need God's word to change you. You know, God talked about this in the Old Testament. I'll just read it to us. God was saying in Psalms 51 verse 17, He was saying that the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, oh God, that will not despise. God does not despise people who aren't sincere, because it takes a sincere person to actually receive God's word with meekness. Yes, it does. It takes someone who is sincere to be like, I need help. I'm not getting something in this area. I need help. I need God to help me. And then you sit down at the feet of Jesus. I'm very sure Mary was going through some stuffs. You know, she needed answers to some things. So she just started to sit down at the feet of Jesus and listen to His word. There are many of us who we are actually proud. Is the truth. We think we don't know we are yet. You are going through something. You are busy telling people, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. Why can't you sit down at the feet of Jesus and get scriptures that He has, what He has said concerning that issue, concerning that situation, and start feeding on it? Amen. We're just looking for one shortcut out. Somebody should just lay hands on you and pray the thing out from you. You need to receive the word of God with meekness. With meekness. God's word will only work for people who have teachable hearts. People who are ready to be taught God's word. And the Holy Ghost is a teacher. He's our teacher. Jesus said, I'll send the Comforter, you know, who's going to come. Another Comforter is going to come. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. The Amplified told us, you know, the Comforter, that means teacher, advocate, standby. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. So those who would see God's word work for them are those who give themselves to the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, He said the Holy Spirit, the Comforter that is coming, is going to teach you, is going to remind you of what I have said. For you to be taught by the Holy Spirit, you need to know the words of Jesus. You need to know the Bible. You need to know scriptures. The Holy Spirit will only expound upon what you have read. So if you are not reading God's word, you are not feeding on God's word, how do you expect the Holy Spirit to teach you? How do you expect the Holy Spirit to explain things to you? How do you expect the Holy Spirit to bring things to your understanding? You know, there was this story, Philip, you know, in the book of Acts, there was this eunuch, was traveling, you know, on the horse, and he was reading the book of Isaiah. And then He didn't understand what he was reading. But the Holy Spirit, you know, transported Philip to go and explain to the eunuch what he was reading. Now, you are not reading anything. You are not feeding on anything. How do you want the Holy Spirit to explain anything to you? What do you want him to explain to you? It is only when you are reading something that you have the Holy Spirit explain to you. It is going to teach you. He's our teacher. Amen. Some of you, some of you don't read the Bible because you say you don't understand what you are reading. Continue reading it. The Holy Ghost is a teacher. He's there to explain scriptures to you. You need to partner with his ministry. When you want to read the Bible, pray and say, Father, light, teach me your word. It will teach you. Amen. You need to be teachable. You need to have a teachable heart. A heart that is hungry. Hungry for Jesus. Meekness. Humility. Your heart is humble. Humble. The Bible says in Psalms 25 verse 9. It says, the meek will he guide in judgment. And the meek will he teach his way. Meek people are teachable. If you are not ready to, you know, submit and let God's word, you know, feed on God's word. If you're not ready to feed on God's word, you are not meek. And it's only those that are meek that we teach. Yes. Hallelujah. Psalms 22 verse 26 says, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. What are they eating? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. For you to be able to eat God's word and be satisfied, you have to be meek. Amen. You have to be hungry for God's word. Hallelujah. Psalm 149 verse 4. It says, the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Will beautify those who are teachable, who allow his word to teach them. It says he will beautify them. Amen. Those who sit at his feet to learn of his word. Those who are meek enough to sit at his feet. Those who are meek enough to say, Father, I need your word. I want to learn of you. I want your word to teach me. I want to receive your word. And they bring out time, set out time to receive God's word. You know, it says it will beautify them. And I love this one. Psalms 147 verse 6. It says, the Lord lifts up the meek. The Lord lifts up the meek. Can also see this again in 1 Peter 5 verse 6. It says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Beloved, if you want God to exalt you, if you want God to lift you, you have to submit to God's word. You have to submit to God's word. You have to sit at his feet. Submitting to God's word is not just sitting at his feet and then you're just nodding your head, yes, 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 and you're not doing anything. No. Remember what it means to be meek. It means to be teachable. It means to be submissive. Amen. To be meek, amen, means that you are not just hearing, you're also doing the word. The Bible says in James 1 verse 21. Yeah, okay, not 21, 22. It says, but be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Remember 21 says, I should lay apart of filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save your souls. It now says in 22, it says, but you need to be doing the word. It's not just to be hearing only. If you're just hearing the word, you are deceiving your own self. So to be meek, to receive God's word with meekness, is to hear the word of God, to allow God's word to teach you, and to allow God's word, you know, to instruct you, you know, to reprove you, to correct you. Because the Bible says in 1 Timothy verse 3 and 16, it says that, you know, God's scriptures were given to us. All scriptures were given. Sorry, 2 Timothy 3:16. It says the word of God, all scriptures given by inspiration of God for doctrine, reproof, correction, instructions, all in righteousness. You know, you have to allow God's word to reprove you, to convict you. You know, for God's word to reprove, it means to convict you. You have to allow God's word to correct you, to instruct you. You know, and you know, as God's word is doing all of that, when He instructs you, you are also doing the word. You're also doing God's word. Amen. You're not just hearing God's word. Proud people are the ones that yeah. We've heard. You know, proud people. Ah, we've heard. But that we've heard, with so much sarcasm, we've heard, and they don't do it. They don't do anything about it. Make people hear God's word, and they also do God's word. Amen. And what you get when you hear and do God's word, you know, it says 23, it says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man that is beholding his face in a natural glass. You just be seeing how your life should be, but you are not becoming it. You are seeing what is meant to be yours. You are seeing what has been accrued to your account. You're seeing your inheritance in Christ, but you're not your life is not transforming. You're not transformed. You see a lot of believers today, they are born again, they go to church, but they are not transformed because they have been hearing, they are not doing. They are not submitted to God's word. They are not allowing God's word to teach them. They are not allowing God's word to instruct them. So if any is hearing God's word and not doing, it's like a natural man is building face in a glass. Verse 24, it says, for he builded himself and goes away, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. 25, but say, whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. He said, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save your soul. You have to be able to receive God's word with meekness, to hear it with meekness, and to also do it with meekness. You sit down, you hear God's word being preached to you concerning a matter that you are struggling with. You are listening with meekness. You are not arguing in your heart and saying, no, I don't agree. Mm-mm. No. God's word is coming to you and says, you know, do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. I'm like, no. What if I don't see another guy to love me? You are receiving that word with meekness. You are hearing that word. Like, yes, it's true. God's word says I should not be unequally yoked to an unbeliever. Like, yes. And then the doing part of it is you need to break that relationship. You're not like, no, I'm not breaking it. If you do not break that relationship, you will not be blessed. You will not see transformation in your life. I remember, you know, my own story was, I had a couple of ungodly relationships I was in years ago when I was in university. And then I knew what I was doing was wrong. But when the word of God came, when God's word came, I was meek to receive it. And I was also meek to do his word. I broke out of all those relations, and God spoke to me and said, I'm going to give you a man. Give you a man that is after my heart. I'm going to bring your husband to you. That was God's word to me. And you know, in 2 years later, God fulfilled it. 2014, God, you know, brought my husband to me, and a man who was ready to do God with, who was ready to do relationship God's way with me, who was ready. All the relationships I was in, sex was like as if it was a do or die affair. But the man that God brought to me, you know, was ready to go through that part with me, sexual purity with me, even with the temptations, and God's love constrained us. And you know, 4 years, 9 months and 20 days, we got married, and we had sex in our marriage, and it's been from one level of glory to another. Amen. What if I had refused to do God's word, to break away from ungodly relationships? I don't think I'll be here right now, preaching and ministering God's word to you. Nah. Mm-mm. Amen. Some of you are not where you're meant to be because you are yoked with an ungodly relationship. That's the truth. That's the truth. I don't have this on my notes, and I don't know why I am saying it. Amen. Some of you also, God has been
bringing something to your heart, bringing a particular instruction to you to do, but you've been struggling with it. Maybe it really concerning your prayer life or your spiritual life, or probably has been telling you to, you know, abound in the grace of giving. Amen. You know, to maybe give something, to allow, to be liberal, but you're just thinking this, you're not doing it. You will not see the blessing at work in your life. It's the truth. You will not see God's blessing. Amen. There is a posture in receiving God's word. She sat down at his feet. Many of us are not sitting to receiving the word. That is why it's not working for you. You're not meek, you're not humble, you're not teachable. Yeah, God's word, you know, is meant to teach you. You're not allowing God's word to teach you because your heart is not right. Some of you, your heart is bitter towards God. You have allowed the enemy so bitterness. So anytime you just say, I'm take away that preaching thing. No. I pray healing for your heart tonight in the name of Jesus. Receive healing in the name of Jesus. So something bad happened and you've gone bitter with God. Who told you that God was the one that caused or made you lose somebody dear to you? You said, see, the Bible says in 1 John 1, verse 5, it says that in him is light. In God is light. There is no darkness at all. He said in his word, Jeremiah 29, verse 11, it says, My thoughts towards you are thoughts of good, not of evil, to give you an expected end. God's plan and God's thoughts for you is good. God is not the orchestrator of the evil you are going through. Amen. Glory to God. He says, goodness and mercy shall follow you all the rest of your life. That's God's plan and will for you. That's God's desire for you. Psalm 91 says, no evil shall come near your dwelling. No plague, no evil shall come near your dwelling. That's God's will for you. It's not his will that evil should be pursuing you. No, it's the devil. He came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Whatever did not work, it wasn't God who did it. Why would you say God caused you to fail? Why? No. Is it that it's the devil or your own foolishness or your own lack of wisdom? God is always in our best interest. He always has our best at heart. Some of you have gotten bitter because you've been giving and giving and you're not seeing anything and you've allowed the enemy to sow bitterness into your heart. But the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9, you know, when it talks about giving, 1 Corinthians, you know, 9, you know, it talks about, you know, God loves a cheerful giver. You sow sparingly, you reap sparingly, you sow bountifully, you live bountifully. He said, and God, it's after you've given, say, God is able to make all grace abound towards you so that you will always have all sufficiency. No matter the need, say, you always have all sufficiency. You are enriched in all things, unto all good works. So God wants you to have abundance even after you've given. He is able to make all grace abound towards you. God does not want you to be broke. God does not want you to be poor. He delights in the prosperity of his servant. Psalm 35, verse 27. It says, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, for he has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. God has pleasure in your prosperity. He delights in your prosperity. He likes to see you prosper. He likes to see you make progress. He likes to see you abound. He likes to see you make increase. He likes to see you have increase. He likes to see you excel. He likes to see you prosper. God does not like it when you are dormant in one place, you're not making progress. No! The enemy has lied to you and he has told you that God likes it like that. God wants it. But God has caused it. No, beloved. Renew your mind. Hallelujah. God delights in your prosperity. He wants things to go well for you. He wants things to be well for you. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9, Jesus became poor that you through his poverty might be rich. That's God. God wants you to be rich. God wants you to prosper. God wants you well. Amen. Glory to God. Don't allow the enemy sow seeds of bitterness and offense, you know, in your heart that, God, is God that caused this. God that, no, beloved. That if you allow the enemy sow offense into your heart, you won't be able to receive God's word with meekness. You won't be able to receive God's word with meekness. Oh, for some. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The enemy has lied to them that God is the one that wants them sick. No, beloved. And he came and bore all our infirmities. Matthew chapter 8 verse 17. He bore all our infirmities, all our sicknesses. Jesus bore all our infirmities, all our sicknesses. How can somebody bear all your infirmities and all your sickness and still be the one to make you sick again? You need to renew your mind from that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Amen to Jesus. Say this with me. God wants me well. God wants me to prosper. God wants me to be well. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. I want us to turn our Bibles to Mark 3, verse 31-35. There's something I want us to look at, even as we round up. So tala bada 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 bahash. Rena mandi libe libe rosha. Mark 3, verse 31. Alright. There came then his brethren and his mother, and standing without, sent unto him, calling him. 32. And the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, behold, your mother and your brother, you know, without, seek for thee. And he answered and said unto them, who is my mother? Who is my brother? And he looked around them, which sat about him, and said, behold, my mother and my brother. Verse 35. He says, whosoever shall do the will of